Iraqi government officials insist that the January 30th elections will take place as planned despite the ongoing violence. Under Iraq's interim constitution, at least a quarter of the 275 seats in the new National Assembly are reserved for women. 20 of the Iraqi women candidates recently met for a training session in Amman, Jordan. They were joined by four members of Congress. The delegation was led by Republican Representative Kay Granger from Texas and Democratic Representative Ellen Tauscher from California, who was on the line from San Francisco. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
What was the purpose of the training session?
This was a session that had been planned for Baghdad. We moved it to Amman so it would be safer. And we were effectively there to help talk about the nuts and bolts of campaigning and our experiences as so-called seasoned politicians.
And what were some of those things that you tried to impart to them?
Well, we had a pretty hefty agenda that included everything from campaign fundraising to get out the vote. And very quickly, it was obvious that it was ridiculous to talk about those kinds of things because they were not in the experience of the Iraqi women candidates or, frankly, any of the Iraqi candidates. The circumstances on the ground in Iraq are so extreme and the violence is so threatening that many of the candidates not only can't campaign in a traditional or conventional way, but they also can't even have their names exposed. Of the 20 women that were with us in Amman, Jordan, two of them had their older sons murdered because they had been bodyguards for them. One of the women had been kidnapped and ransomed after a few weeks by her family. All of them had suffered tremendously under the Saddam Hussein regime, but were now pretty much very disappointed about what they considered to be the long-term occupation of the United States.
So what you're saying is they have to remain anonymous so they can't even campaign,
right.
and their names won't, in some cases, even appear on a ballot.
Well, they can't campaign, and not only that. I mean, there are newspapers that are talking about the campaign and urging people to vote. There are actually television ads. But look, the power is on in parts of Iraq is only on one out of every 6 hours. So it's not like you have a Iraqi citizenry that actually has seen the movie of voting. And now they're getting asked to star in the sequel. They have never had a democratic vote. They've never had the ability to make their own choices. And we broke the promise to the Grand Ayatollah over a year ago about having a census. And in the absence of a census, you can't have precinct drawing and you can't apportion districts and provinces. And that means you can't have direct elections like we do in the Congress. And that meant that we would then go to another system and they kind of jerry-rigged a thing called the list. And, you know, I'm kind of immersed in this and I can't really explain to you how the list is going to work because over time, the list has morphed itself to deal with the fact that you have increasingly people that are not on the list. They are effectively under the banner of a national leader like the Grand Ayatollah or Ahmad Chalabi or Adnan Pachachi or a party banner. And they themselves have created a sense of anonymity by taking their name off because they're getting killed and intimidated.
Do they face particular problems as women?
Yes, they do. Interestingly, under the Saddam regime, women actually had the ability to have jobs and go to college, and there was a secular heir to the Saddam Hussein regime. But in this case, women are interestingly very much needed by the parties and by men running because there are prescriptive metrics in what is called the TAL, it's the Transitional Administrative Law that was passed last year. It's their pre-constitution blueprint, and it basically says that in this election, to create a 275-member National Assembly that will write the Constitution, that every third candidate must be a woman and 25% of those elected need to be women. It was kind of funny to hear the Iraqi women last weekend telling us that they've never been courted as seriously for a long time to be part of a political organization as they have been recently because people are starting to look up and understand that these prescriptive metrics in the TAL mean that you literally have to have women on the ballot and elected. And so the major parties are really reaching out to bring women in. Now, there's always the cynical circumstance that these parties can go out and get these women and basically just have them as figureheads. Part of what we were interested in enforcing in the meetings we had last weekend was, what do you do when you have power? What do women do when they have won the election? What is the next step? How do you assure that, you know, the next press conference isn't just the guys? How do you make sure that you have the ability to take the power that you have been granted through this election and actually use it?
What were you able to tell them personally about your own experience as both a candidate and a member of Congress?
Increasingly, the conversation really was dominated by the facts on the ground, the fact that the security situation is so bad that many of the infrastructure necessities of pulling this election off on January 30th have yet to be accomplished and are unlikely to be. For example, there's supposed to be 7,000 to 9,000 polling places inside of Iraq, but you know, many of them that have been announced have been bombed, neighborhoods have been intimidated, and nobody wants the polling place in their area. There's meant to be 150,000 Iraqis trained as poll workers, and only 6,000 have been trained with 14 days to go to the election. So there's much of this that is kind of a list of things you have to get this done, and we haven't accomplished them, but the overarching issue is security, and it is obviously a very dangerous place. And what we would be attempting to do right now is really an election in a combat zone, and I'm not sure we can pull it off.
Representative Ellen Towser is a Democrat from California. She was part of a congressional delegation who visited with Iraqi women candidates for the Iraqi National Assembly. She joined us from San Francisco. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Leanne.
One note, Ellen Towser's Republican colleague Kay Granger was unable to join our conversation because of scheduling conflicts.